Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call this thing Baltimore Positive. I tell you to put us on your car radio, but nobody's in their car right now. So Baltimore Positive has it going on, which is better than the old days because all we had was radio. We needed you in the car. We love you in the car. But if you're home and you're safe and you're dry and you're not being killed by ice over the weekend, either way, this kind of ice or the other ice, we welcome you in. It is... It's Super Bowl time. Luke and I would be heading off to Santa Clara right now and hanging out in downtown San Francisco, probably drinking too much tequila if I were, and probably avoiding some of this crap we have here. But because Chad Steele blackballed me, we will be doing a cup of soup or bowl next week instead, beginning on Monday at Fadley's. God, the weather. Tuesday, we're going to be at El Guapo in Catonsville, moved across the street from State Fair there. Wednesday, we will be at Coco's in Lauraville. Thursday, we moved the show to Essex and Pizza John's. I got some old childhood friends coming over for that. Might be able to lure Luke Jones over for that as well. And on Friday, we will be at Costas and Timonium. It is a cup of soup or bowl. It is all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I swear I have a lottery ticket here. Smells like winter. Candy cane cash. Smells like a foot of snow and a little bit of sleet on the championship game Sunday. Luke Jones is here now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I can dig out for the press conference on Thursday, so you can have my seat when they bring Jesse Minter in. What a weekend! You know, I mean, a snow globe championship game that's decided on a fingertip block kick in Denver, and the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. Can't say I'm excited about that. You know, I kind of have always sort of liked the Seahawks until I met Earl Thomas. But I was a Pete Carroll guy, and you remember the big green thing up in New York City a decade ago and all of that. So I can get down with the Seahawks, and I certainly can get down with our mutual pal, Mike McDonald, going for a ring here and being a 4.5-point favorite out in Santa Clara next week. We're all trapped at home, Luke, but football, the NFL, as long as we have electricity, marches on.
It does, and we're going to have a Super Bowl rematch from, what was that, the 2013-14 season. So that's...
I had to think that they play before, and I'm like, oh,
they
yeah,
did.
They should have run the ball at the goal line. And
exactly. So this is a chance. This is a chance for the Seahawks, albeit a completely different team. I mean, no one left over from a decade ago, but a chance for, how about we say, the Seahawks fan base to right a wrong from a decade ago and win a Super Bowl. And as you mentioned, I mean, certainly a reminder of the great work that Mike McDonald has done there, that their front office has done there in terms of putting together a roster that, it wasn't awful when Mike McDonald arrived, but certainly needed to make some tweaks and some adjustments. And, you know, they got rid of Geno Smith last year and they bring in Sam Darnold. And lo and behold, for all the talk of Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen in this 2018 draft class,
you had a Super Bowl quarterback on the market last year. Nobody wanted him, right? Literally, nobody wanted him.
You know, you have Lamar Jackson, you have Josh Allen, two MVP quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield has been more highly regarded in recent years. And Sam Darnold's the one going to a Super Bowl first. So,
but if I would have told you the day that kid was drafted, he's a number three overall pick, that he could struggle in New York, imagine, and reemerge somewhere else as a 30-year-old man and throw for 350 yards and have a 150 clean sheet in a championship game at home, you know, you have the pedigree for it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't Brock Purdy. This isn't even Tom Brady, who didn't have the pedigree for it, or Lamar.
Right. But it wasn't just the Jets. It was also going to Carolina. It was being a backup in San Francisco. It's what happened with the Vikings last year after he had a strong season, but then at the end of the year was horrible in their two biggest games. So I'm with you, and I hear your point, and certainly he was very highly decorated at USC.
People can improve, you know? I mean,
But it's still, no, I'm not disparaging.
But Flacco went and did it, and a decade later, it's like he didn't do it. Like, literally, he was the greatest there ever was for 4 weeks, won a Super Bowl, threw miracle passes, completed the back shoulder, did all of that, and it's forgotten because he's not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. I mean, he won't have a day in Canton, you know?
No,
and I don't
won't.
Think Sam Darnold, the one guy that's transcended that was the guy he beat. Stafford's transcended, as Kurt Warner did later on, That, I mean, Stafford was a 1-1, way different than boxing things in Iowa. But if you're talking quarterbacks, I'm never shocked when guys who are pedigree guys wind up finding it later. And that goes for pitchers too, by the way, or for Ryan O'Hearn, or anybody else who's a, I'll say, late bloomer, but high potential, and takes them time to figure it out, because not everybody figures it out like Jackson Holliday, you know?
Well, and it's also a reminder that it is a team game. I mean, Matthew Stafford was a good quarterback in Detroit, but he didn't have a whole lot around him. And that was more so the problem than Matthew Stafford being this lesser quarterback, right? And that's not to say that joining Sean McVay in LA didn't help his career, because of course it would. Coaching matters. And that's maybe the big theme there as we bring it back to talking about Mike McDonald and in the wake of the Ravens. Hiring Jesse Minter to be, as I said to you, I mean, as much as, yeah, you look at the Harbaugh thing, I think you also look at the Mike McDonald thing, though. And you remember those two were contemporaries in Baltimore.
Are
Those
they
two,
best friends, or are they perceived as being
I
such?
don't know if I'd say they're best friends, but they work together. They're close. They like each other. They root for each other. They
I
are.
wonder how often guys do te I wonder how often Lamar Jackson will ever send John Harbaugh a text now that, or how often John Harbaugh texts with anybody in his past life, like once this season is this season. Same thing for Mike Tomlin or even Sean Payton. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wonder about the strength of those relationships in that way, because it's a small circle in that way. And Harbaugh's best friend was always perceived as being Spagnuolo from my innards. That, like, that was his guy, that was his buddy, brought him here to work. We talked about Giants coaches that didn't work out. I didn't even get to him with Ian O'Connor the other day. I did a great piece with Ian O'Connor on John Harbaugh and where that thing's going. But the relationships and the circle of all of this really leads to how the coordinators are going to happen this week too, and who knows who, and who gets jobs in Buffalo and these other places. It is really complex, and we haven't been in it in 18 years, other than, are we going to lose our coordinator to Seattle, right? But being in the middle of all of this, especially for Jesse Minter, Eric DaCosta, the snowstorm, it's a really busy week, man. I mean, for it being shut down around, there's lots going to happen between now and Thursday when Minter hits the stage in Owings Mills.
No question about it. I mean, it's complicated because you can sit here and say, okay, I like that guy as my offensive coordinator, or I like that guy as my offensive coordinator, and I'd like to bring in those two individuals or those, two other guys for a job. But go and look at some of these names. I mean, these are guys that are getting second interviews with some of the other openings that are still out there, not for an offensive coordinator, but for a head coach. You can talk all you want about the Ravens OC job and its perception compared to some of the other coordinator jobs, but you can't sit here and say that too many guys are going to turn down an opportunity to be a head coach somewhere, even if it is Vegas or Cleveland or someplace where you say there's probably not the greatest percentage chance of success, but it's one of 32 jobs compared to being a coordinator. So I think that's where things are so
The only one that
fascinating
would
right
turn
now.
down those jobs, a guy like Shielhouse, one of the really young guys that feels like I'll get a better opportunity. The guys that Jim Schwartz has to take the job that, if he gets the Cleveland job, it's the
Yeah,
greatest
that's a
job
little
in the
bit
world for
different.
him.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. When you're talking about someone who has kind of tested out and is trying to dive back into that group, so to
If
speak,
you're Joe Kelly, do you want the Cleveland job, or do you want to come and run Lamar for a year?
I mean,
Yeah.
but that said, I mean, you just said with Shielhouse, I mean, but you never know what's going to happen. How many times they're, as much as we don't remember them because we don't remember them, there are scenarios where guys are the hot coordinator and then they decide to stick around or they don't get a certain job and you say, okay, well, they're going to be hired next year. And
Brian
that
Flores
never
should have been a
happens.
head coach in this league for the last decade, right? Like, he took that chump's job down in Miami, and it hasn't been the same ever since. You know what I mean? They were turding on him, ditching on him, trying to get a pick, a tank for Tua, all of that. And he hasn't been right. And he's African American, and all these jobs are going to white guys. That's way deeper into this than makes you comfortable speaking about, to be really honest with you. It gets way deeper into that with the Rooney Rule in the league and opportunities as well. if you fail.
I fully acknowledge that, but I'll give you an example of a couple years ago. Bobby Slovic was the Houston offensive coordinator when CJ Stroud was a rookie. He was a hot coordinator name at that point in time. He decided to stay in Houston, and I'm not sure if he definitively was going to get a head coach job. Where is he a couple years later? He's not in Houston anymore. In fact, I think he's going to Miami now, I believe. But point is, even someone right now that you perceive as being a can't miss head coach prospect who, yeah, he could be selective. And I'm not saying that there aren't times where it doesn't work out. I mean, Ben Johnson was someone who decided to stay in Detroit an extra year or two, and that worked out just fine for him. Ask the Bears right now. So, but it is a lot to just make an assumption and say, yes, our coordinator job or this coordinator job is way better than becoming the head coach of the Cleveland Browns or of the Las Vegas Raiders. It's easier said than done saying that when you're the outsider compared to being the guy that has worked 10 years, 15 years, 20 years to be in the position they're in now to become a head coach in the National Football
Well, and
League.
that's Jesse Minter's spot right now, right? Like,
And that's where you look at it, right?
yeah.
So, I mean, it's one thing to talk about Jesse Minter, who's taken what's perceived to be a great job. It's another thing to talk about someone else
Mike McCarthy.
I mean, what'd you think of that hire? I just want to hear your thoughts on that because I have my thoughts on it.
I want to go back to this, like, to be really honest, I'm different than anybody else on the radio. I mean, I've had dinner with Mr. Rooney, right? You know what I mean? So like I've been at that sort of, and I've also had dinner with Jim Irsay, and I've also had dinner with Bob Kraft, and like they're all different billionaires. And what's going to make them comfortable? Like I see a Dan Campbell, like I saw Antonio Pierce on television over the weekend. He had 5 minutes in Vegas with Marvin, and Marvin, you know, Marvin and I got together recently. It wasn't fair. You gave him 1 year, and you gave him, who was the quarterback when they beat our ass here last year? The guy with the beard that lives in the van, that lives down by the river, the guy to play for Jacksonville, not Baker Mayfield, the funny name. What's his name?
Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew. Yeah, I knew he had a funny name. Wasn't a baker, he was a gardener. Sorry. I knew it was something around the house that you do. And he's unemployed and on TV. And Mike Tomlin wants to get to TV. Cowher never came back from TV, neither did Billick, you know, some of these guys. There are other opportunities out there, but the job and the situation and the owner. And the owner's comfort level with having a grown up, or I'm going to groom a young guy, which I don't think you and I believe Bisciotti had the belly for. Like we kind of thought veteran team maybe, and you were telling me Shieldhouse in the beginning, and I was saying, well, they're bringing in Schwartz, and the owner's talking about bringing in guys that have done it before, that they might be more comfortable with that where they are, trying to win right here, right now. That kind of pressure. I don't know that they have that pressure in Pittsburgh, but I know hometown guy that knows his way around, guy that's managed two big buildings, a guy who's going to be much more CEO, I think, at this point in his life, and probably looks at this as a 5-year assignment. I think they would look at it as we like Mike McCarthy to be the guy here coming home to hire the Nate Shieldhouse next year or the year after that, and put something together here that feels more like what Atlanta's trying to do with Matt Ryan, except we're doing it with a grown-up in the way that, I don't know, the Arizona Diamondbacks brought Buck Showalter in to pick the carpet, 100 years ago, thinking they need a football person that's a Pittsburgh football person. Bill Cowher doesn't want to be that guy. Mike Tomlin's not going to be that guy. So I think the Rooney family may be looking at this as something like, all right, he'll be here for 10 years. He'll coach the first whatever, and we'll get our ish together here and get a quarterback. And this guy knows quarterback. That's what I think of the McCart. I didn't think of it as I'm a Steeler fan and I want to beat the Ravens. They don't have enough players to win the Super Bowl next year, as I see it. And if I were a Steelers fan, I'd look at it like that and say, how would you strategize it? Would you bring in a 30-year-old hotshot football coach when you're not even sure what you are at this point? Or would you bring in somebody to sort of settle the ship a little bit? I don't know. I think that's the way they looked at it when they did it. And it's special and different because he's from there. He's a decorated guy. He knows what he's doing. He clearly wants the gig. He has a taste to go do it. And I'm not a Mike McCarthy guy one way or another, but I didn't think it was as outlandish as some of the Steelers fans. Like I saw somebody said it's like pooping your pants and changing your shirt. I thought that was interesting and
I
funny.
did see
But
that.
and I'll say that on the radio. It's funny, but I don't see it like that. And I think fans forget how qualified Mike McCarthy is because he went down and played with the circus in Dallas for a while.
Yeah, I think the problem's Art Rooney. I mean, point blank. If you heard his comments in the aftermath of Tomlin resigning and stepping down, he doesn't want to rebuild. Okay, continue to enjoy your 10-7 at best, 9-8. I mean,
Say that, but they could have had Sam Darnold last year.
but they didn't get
Okay, they can
him.
get Malik Willis right now, right?
I mean, they could. I just to me
Lamar could be pissed off in 5 minutes and be somewhere else. I mean, like any quarterback,
I guess,
any of that. Kirk
and look,
Cousins was on television the other day.
I don't think I don't think Mike McCarthy's a bad coach, but I see them everything that was wrong with the Steelers under Mike Tomlin. Meaning where they've been in recent years, where let's face it, when was the last time you actually truly thought the Pittsburgh Steelers were a bona fide, legitimate Super Bowl contender in the AFC?
When Ben Roethlisberger was 2 years
A
away from
decade
retirement.
a decade ago.
Yeah.
We're working on a decade ago. And
They
that to
haven't
me,
walked on, but this is a tribute to Tomlin. They haven't walked on the field with a better team, really, than the
that's
Ravens
fine.
much,
But
but they beat the Ravens' ass a lot. And that's why
oh,
Harbaugh's unemployed.
I understand that, and
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that, but the bigger problem there is ownership not recognizing that they need to take a step back if they ever want to take a step forward again. And
That's really hard to do when you're old and a billionaire.
that's where I think they're going to run into the problem with Mike McCarthy. I think it's much of the same of what they weren't liking under Tomlin, not because Tomlin was the exclusively the problem, but they were just in this no man's land. And I guess the other part of this would be, there's been a lot of talk about Shula. The Rams defensive coordinator, and there are a lot of people in Pittsburgh that were thinking that he would be a good fit, and obviously he's Don ties to Don Shula, and you think back to the golden days of Pittsburgh, and Shula and Chuck Knoll, and like you think about all that kind of all those connections. I think there was also a thought of what was the rush to hire Mike McCarthy, like who else. Like what other teams have been linked to Mike McCarthy? The thought was, why don't you talk to some of these younger guys this week, in terms of the teams that are being eliminated, and see if there's someone that you fall in love with, when you bring into the building and talk to. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it feels like ownership there is fine for them to continue to be where they've been,
Why
which
is
is.
John perceived as being young at 63 and McCarthy perceived as being old in some way? I just.
Probably because he's perceived to have failed in Dallas also. Again, I don't think McCarthy's a bad coach. And the difference between John Harbaugh in New York and Mike McCarthy in Pittsburgh right now is you have Jackson Dart. You have some other good young players on that team, whereas most of what Pittsburgh has right now is old. Even their best players are old. Now, it's not to say TJ Watt and Cam Hayward can't still play, but how much do they realistically have left when you're trying to converge on?
Well, I mean, look, we'll figure it out on the field, right? Because
Sure.
Jesse Minter is going to coach against Mike McCarthy, and you're judging the Steelers on what they are right now, and we're judging the Ravens on their potential, and they got their ass kicked, the ball sailed wide, right? They
Yeah, their
lost
ass.
twice to
I
the
mean, they
Steelers twice.
lost. I mean, I don't know
Like,
why we need to say they got their ass kicked. I mean,
well,
they lost.
they got their
They
coach
lost.
fired,
Okay, but I'm just, I mean, they didn't lose by
so to
four
think that the
touchdowns.
Ravens have all of this potential and we're going to bring it all in, I want to see that play out too. I want to see Lamar be a part of this. I want to see Jesse
Fair.
Minter get him to OTAs now, all of a sudden, in a way that John couldn't and the owner called
Fair
him out for
enough.
last week.
Fair
So,
enough. I guess my overall point would be, philosophically speaking, I would much rather be interested in hiring someone like Jesse Minter than Mike McCarthy at this point in time. If it were my franchise, that's all.
no matter where your franchise was.
Generally
But
speaking,
you're a
yes.
42-year-old billionaire. You're different than a 78-year-old billionaire.
I mean,
And I'm
okay.
telling you,
He
these
wants the known
decisions are made
commodity.
by billionaires in a lot of ways. in an egotistical way that serves them. Steve Bisciotti doesn't hire the best coach. He hires the coach he can get along with. That's a fact.
Dan Rooney hired Mike Tomlin. That wasn't a, you know, he certainly wasn't Mike McCarthy when you're talking about 19 years ago. So it's definitely a different hire than what Pittsburgh has done in the past. But, I mean, okay. We'll see. I mean, and, you know, I don't want to dwell too much on – we got things to talk about
with
the Ravens.
But it's all tied in, right? Because McCarthy's on the phone now trying to get OCs and DCs in the same way that Minter is. And, well, I mean, first things first. We have a Super Bowl with New England and Seattle. They're going to move on. Their coaches are sort of kind of locked up. But by the middle of the week, you'll find out, like – who's waiting? If the Raiders are waiting on one of the coaches, we'll find that out. But the Rams guys are now out in the marketplace as well. And obviously the Buffalo seat still becomes something that moves lots of people. Cleveland, and maybe by the time people hear this, I wouldn't say driving around because nobody's driving anywhere at this point with our snowstorm here this week. But by the time we get to Thursday, I think we'll have a whole lot more clarity on a lot of things. But it has been pretty murky, I would say, right?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I do want to give an update that we do have where we had talked about this last week, but Chris Horton, who the Ravens had initially blocked, and as I said, you know, I kind of compare it to you're keeping someone on retainer, right? He was under contract. The idea is, do you want to have him potentially be the special teams coordinator for a new head coach coming in here at that point in time, not knowing definitively who it was going to be? And ultimately the Ravens have apparently decided to say, Chris Horton, you can go. And Jesse Minter and the organization has someone else in mind. I don't necessarily think that means that Anthony Levine's getting the job as a special teams assistant on the staff this past year, but Jesse Minter might have someone else in mind. So Chris Horton will join John Harbaugh in New York. And the other,
but the interesting thing is Jesse Minter does know, you know, all of these people, right? If he really liked, you know, our friend, Anthony Levine, longtime special team, you know, this is the opportunity to do that. If he really liked Zach Orr, right? He could keep, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of relationship. This isn't, this is just a little bit of a transfusion. This isn't a transplant.
Well, yeah. I mean, I as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, this is much more of a refresh of their building than a rebuild. That said, Jesse Minter is his own man. He's been gone for 5 years. So I think he's coming in with a perspective of, yes, there's familiarity, but I think there's also some, what does need to change here? And that's not to say that that's an indictment on Chris Horton per se. It might just be, hey, he knows someone from that he knew, worked with at Michigan, or a friend of a friend that he thinks is a fantastic special teams coach and thinks he would be a good fit. So, you know, someone he brought in, you know, with reports late Sunday evening, Mike Mickens, who was coaching the defensive backs at Notre Dame. I was familiar with Kyle Hamilton, obviously, but Mickens played at Cincinnati when Jesse Minter was a grad assistant there. So there's a connection there, but Mickens is really highly regarded in terms of some of the work he's done at, not just in South Bend, but other stops. He's known for being someone that can be, you know, really coaches defensive backs well. And I think you're looking right now at Malachi Starks and you're looking at Nate Wiggins, two young developing defensive backs who, you know, in Wiggins' case, you know, didn't necessarily finish the season on the highest note. In Starks' case, didn't necessarily have an unbelievable rookie year. I don't think he had a bad rookie year, but he's a rookie.
But they need to improve, and that's coaching, as you see.
Right, and that's someone that clearly Minter looks at Mickens and the work he did at Notre Dame and those two having some previous ties and say, hey, this is a chance for us to bring in one of the most highly regarded college assistants to come in here and coach our secondary and get us to a place where we need to be, which is way better in it with the pass defense than the Ravens have been the last couple of years. So, you know, right off the bat, that's looks like a good hire to me. He's highly regarded, clearly knows Kyle Hamilton. I'm sure Jesse Minter or someone in the organization at least picked Kyle Hamilton's brain a little bit on what he thought of him. And they bring him in. I mean, again, I even saw a couple Notre Dame reporters on social media kind of saying this was a matter of time that Mickens was going to be promoted somewhere, right? That he was going to be, whether it was going to be going to another college, you know, with a better job or making it to the NFL. So But that's just an example of someone they're bringing
Now,
in.
Minter
And
didn't cross paths with Hamilton, though, right? That he left a
no.
year and a half before he got here. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just
Because
trying to get the ties. There aren't a whole lot of players left from that
there
his time.
aren't. In fact,
Lamar, Ronnie Stanley, Marlon
there
Humphrey,
are
Ricard.
nine, I think it was.
Okay.
I included it in what I wrote on Friday at BaltimorePositive.com. I think it was nine. Let me bring it up. And but it's a short list. I mean,
Brent
it's
Urban was probably around. He was always around.
no. Brent Urban had that's when he that was in the middle of his two stints. So, but yeah, I mean, it's
I love Brent Urban. I miss him. You see Brent, tell him I said hello. I haven't
yeah.
seen him in years.
But it goes back to
Canadian guys, you know,
it
good
goes back to
people.
what we were talking about. Like, yes, there's familiarity here, but there's enough of a departure. There was enough of a stint of Minter being away from John Harbaugh and the Ravens specifically. And okay, I'll hear. He was with Jim. I fully acknowledge that. But I think there still is enough of a difference there. And as I pointed out to you, just because you work for someone does not mean that you're exactly the same as them. And I used you and me as an example there, right? I mean, that's just life. But I think when you do look at the time that's passed, the fact that there are only eight or nine guys left from 2020, I mean, Jesse Minter knows Lamar Jackson, but even then, think about where Lamar Jackson was in his career in 2018, 19, 20, and where Jesse Minter was in his coaching career in 2018, 19, 20. And that's not to say that those two won't have a great relationship, but it's certainly going to be a different relationship than it was then, right? I mean,
Do we have any hint that Lamar came in and talked to these guys last week or no?
I don't know. I don't get the sense, and I don't know this for sure. I don't get the sense that he was there physically. Now, that said, there's been reporting and things that I have heard as well that whether we're talking about Lamar, Kyle Hamilton, like a Roquan Smith, like guys that you would kind of,
Leadership Council.
yeah, I think there was some element of guys chiming in, like, via Zoom, like saying hello, maybe asking a question or two in that way. But I don't think, like, if you're asking me, and this goes back to what Bisciotti was talking about at the press conference, I didn't get the sense that Lamar flew into Baltimore and was sitting down 12 hours at a time, part of the interview team in that way. I don't think that happened. I don't know 100%, but I feel like if that had been the case, were the Ravens would have made that known, I feel, right? Don't you think? I mean, that feels like something they would have done in the same way that Pegula in Buffalo has not shied away from the fact that it sounds like Josh Allen's going to be very involved in their coaching
Well,
search.
once this thing's over with this press conference on Thursday and Friday, then we have a Super Bowl and we'll shovel more snow this weekend, apparently, and all that. But then it really be and the coordinators will be in place, and Cleveland will even have a coach by then. The Lamar contract thing that sits in the center of like, does he want to be here? Is he happy here? Is he renegotiating? Are we going to get this done quickly? It's just money. He's got plenty of it. They've got plenty of it. Can they get it done? Is that something where Eric's going to go to the combine and just have that done? Or is it going to be one more thing he has to deal with in March and April,
Yeah.
slogging along to figure all of that out? Because once you get to March 12th or whatever that date is when free agency hits, not that far away, you'd like to think that the quarterback that's been in the system that you paid a quarter of $1 billion to, who has won MVPs, who allegedly wants to win and wants to be here, but doesn't come to OTAs and doesn't answer his phone in the offseason for the old coach. I don't, I, Lamar's a mystery, and it shouldn't be that way. It doesn't feel like Josh Allen's a mystery to me in Buffalo. It just feels like Lamar's a mystery, and I don't know. It's not a knock on him. Everybody thinks I don't like Lamar. I don't walk like a duck. People walk a little differently, think a little differently. Even Aaron Rodgers, he thinks like, all these quarterbacks have their own thing. But the Lamar thing, I'd like to see the oars in the water and feel like they're moving the same way. And I don't know that I've ever felt that with him and John from holding the sign up and getting the money. I mean, he's great on the field and they've executed all that. But the big trust and the brotherhood and all of that, I called it culture when I wrote a letter to Steve Bisciotti, and that was really more off the field than even on the field. But bringing Lamar back in and having this thing be fun for everybody again, it feels like it's been a minute for that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, and this was part of the reason why they moved on from John. I think
Well, the
everyone.
quarterback got the coach fired, so
I
now
mean,
he needs to be happy.
I don't. I wouldn't categorize it like that. I
The
think.
quarterback survived and the coach didn't.
Okay. That I think that's a much
I think the
that.
coach is ha way happier in New York than he would be here. I think the
Well,
coach was worn out.
he's also making 20 million. I think
Yeah,
everyone.
I
I
agree.
no, but I think the problem was everyone was worn out. I think fatigue is the word that I use to kind of describe that. But to go back to what you're talking about with Lamar, yeah, I mean, I think you certainly want to get that done before the start of free agency, but because it's going to be very pivotal in what they can do in terms of going out and adding other football players. I mean, it's just the truth. I mean, yes, I've talked about it in terms of, yes, there are ways that the Ravens can take Lamar's $74 million cap figure. And it's, you know, the base salary itself is 50 something, whatever it is off the top of my head. I don't have it in front of me. There are ways to do a simple restructure and you can push out a couple more void years and you can lower that number, but not in the way that you can if you can work out an extension and you basically tack 3 more years onto the current deal and you make Lamar the highest paid quarterback in the league again in terms of average annual value. You structure it in a way that his cap number is much lower for 26 and 27, and then you move forward.
Yeah, and you get this
And
all done in 3.5 minutes. It should be
if you
at
want to get
least
it done, it
you ought to
shouldn't
be able to
be.
get on a Zoom call and within 3 hours say yay, nay, F whatever we're saying. But
I mean, even if it's not 3 hours, your point's well taken. Like, it shouldn't be something that takes weeks and weeks. Like, it's something that
it's
should.
January 26th. If we're still talking about this after Valentine's Day, they haven't figured it out because, like, they should be
Well,
getting this figured out. And
I
they
would
all
all.
know it. You're talking about it. I'm talking about it. Lamar knows about it. If you care about winning and you're into this thing and you're into the new coach, come in and get it done. That's all.
I wouldn't say Valentine's Day because they do have to put a staff together, and Eric is still going to be involved in that, right? I mean, even if Jesse Minter's driving that
Eric
bus.
already knows the structure of all of this. Send it over to his. Oh, he didn't have an agent. Send it over to him and let's. Hey, Lamar, get back. Let's get this done so
I
we can get
don't
to work
disagree
here.
with your general point. I'm just saying, to me, by the combine would be, you know, if we're still talking about this in a month, yeah, then at that point you're starting to, because you're
Look,
two and
the
a half.
last head coach couldn't get him into, couldn't, had to make excuses for him in front of you to embarrass himself. Like over the course of this past season, in regard to is he practicing? Is he not? Are we communicating? Are we not? Is he coming to OTA? Is he not? I'll text Nestor because Nestor's on Twitter talking about him not coming. Like the new coach shouldn't have to, it should be better than that. That's, I hope it's better than that. I hope that
Sure.
the new coach doesn't reach for his phone and want to text Jameson Hensley or Jeff Schreiber saying the quarterback's not in my building and I'm trying to win and it's pissing me off.
Okay.
Because that really happened. I'm not making that up. Like,
Yeah.
it really
In
happened.
the spring. In the spring.
Okay, spring's part of the
Voluntary.
year where we win. That's me being a serious ball coach, not a sports radio prick. Like,
Yeah.
that's the way it
And
works.
he wasn't there 2 years ago in the spring, and he won should have won MVP of the league. I hear you. And look,
Doesn't
I
make
will.
it any easier on that Tuesday when you're out there leading your football team and your leader's not in the building and everybody's saying why and it pisses you off because you're like, come on, dude, we pay you
You love you
$50 a
some
year. Give me
complaining
full
about
effort.
OTAs. You love you complaining about some, but.
Dude, Chad Steele threw me out and took my press pass away and told me it's because I didn't come to OTAs. And that's a fact, Jack. That's a fact. So,
I
like,
wasn't. I had what I was saying had nothing to do with that. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson here. This spring, yeah, it's going to be a little different. The expectation should be different because you're going to be talking about a new offensive coordinator and a new offense and a new head coach. And yeah, I'll be in agreement with that. We're going to find out, right? And that's why they need to get this offensive coordinator hire correct. You know, whether it's going to be Cliff Kingsbury because there's been some chatter and rumors and reporting that Lamar would be interested in working with him. I don't think it's necessarily Kingsbury or bust, but you know, is it him? Is it going to be Joe Brady? I mean, Davis Webb, Nathan Shielhouse. I mean, some of these guys now that are now done, you can talk to, right? I mean, you're now in a position where, you know, anyone that's you know, not New England or Seattle, you're in a position where you can bring them in and hire them. So we're going to see how it plays out. But yeah, I mean, they've you know, you'd like to think you get a contract extension done and without too much drama. As I made the point to you probably a week or two ago, when you have a contract in place. This is not starting from scratch. When you have a contract in place and you want to extend that contract, it's not nearly as challenging as when you're starting from scratch in the way that they were 3 years ago with a negotiation where it was expiring rookie deal and you need to work out a contract extend or a
Well,
new
it's like Bisciotti
contract.
said, he's under contract, so he's going to come play for
And that's the
74 million.
thing.
And if we have to take the cap hit, we'll take it. But it would be
Well,
far better
it
to
won't
know
be
that on
74.
February 15th than not, right?
I mean, he's not going to play under the 74.5. It would be you're going to take X amount from his base salary for 2026, and you turn that into a bonus, and you probably lower it to, I don't know, 55, something like that, 60, which would be tenable, but not as much flexibility as if you work out a brand, an extension that can lower that number down to, I don't know, 25, 30, something like that for this year. And it all depends. I mean, I think with any of these big quarterback contracts, you also have to remember you want to try to keep the structure as flat as you can because of this scenario where you get 3 years into it and the numbers are sky high, and then you say, okay, we need to get another extension done. I mean, I'm there's no question that Eric DaCosta said to Lamar when they signed this deal 3 years ago that we'll have to work out, we'll have to redo this in 3 years. So goes back to your original point. You know, if everything's kumbaya and he's happy and they're happy and he's excited about Jesse Minter, he's excited about the offensive coordinator they hire, then it shouldn't be something that takes more than, I don't want to say 3 hours, but shouldn't be something that takes 6 weeks. Let's put it that way, right?
Well, if
It
you're
shouldn't be.
genuinely excited about being here and you're genuinely excited about the new head coach and you're genuine, you'd be at the press conference Thursday here. I know snow notwithstanding, but he can get a jet. He makes 50 million a year. And like, let's go. Let's look like this is a new program, that it's not Camp John, Camp Dread, Camp Ball Coach. Show me something different. Show me this off season where everybody's pissed off for greatness at 8 and 9 and knew this and new beginnings that, new coordinator that, and new playbook and new, not new system. I don't know. Cliff Kingsbury comes in here. What? Not gonna run Todd Monken's system, is he?
I mean, it's gonna be different. I mean, it's, you know, even though you look at similarities, I mean, yeah, it's gonna be a different system. I mean, that's why for the first time in a few years, yeah, I will care about Lamar being there in the
Well, that
spring.
means a lot more work for Lamar if there's a new system, right? New
Yeah,
language.
for any quarterback. I mean,
Yeah.
it's gonna be new for short of the Bills just promoting Joe Brady, it's gonna be new for Josh Allen, right? I mean, it's gonna be new for anyone who has a new head coach or coordinator, right? I mean, so yeah, there's a lot of that that goes on, and yeah, it's going to be important, and we're going to see how this all plays out. And they need to get a staff in place, and then as soon as that's mostly complete, yeah, they've got to get this deal done.
Well, we got the press conference Thursday. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll talk about Minter. We'll talk about questions for him and what you're. I want to know what you're interested in. What if you get an hour with? What are you going to ask him about? I'm putting that together in my mind through the snowstorm. Everybody out there, stay safe. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're going to be doing a cup of soup or bowl next week, weather pending, with our friends from the Maryland Lottery as well as GBMC. If there's any breaking news on coordinators, if you're on the WNST text service, you'll get that first. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Luke and I talking some football. And if you are tuning in, and you are in the car, or you're listening on the Listen Live at Baltimore Positive through WNST, we're going to be presenting the 25th anniversary of Purple Rain 1 and the big night in Tampa, which was January 28, 2001. I got 25 years. Wow, where did time go? But if you tune in and you hear Tony Siragusa, you hear Art Modell, or you hear Brian Billick, or you hear Marvin Lewis, or you hear Trent Dilfer, or you hear Rod Woodson, yeah, it's because we got it laying around. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.